liking you guys, and it's all digital.
Dance who made waffles!
I'm not going to eat that!
Another day closer to being dead.
What can I say? Don't touch me there.
You're listening to The Surfing Trucker Show, simply the best podcast around, according to me. Well, welcome to yet another podcast by yours truly, Surfing Trucker. It's the middle of January. It's miserable out. And I got the day off. It's a Friday, so I got a three-day weekend. Woohoo for me. It would suck pay-wise, except for the fact that next week is double bonus week. We get a quarterly bonus, which I've always made my 10 years with the company. And the account I'm on, we have a yearly bonus that, well, it's determined per quarter. It's for an entire account, not just the five of us that are up here on this particular one account, but it's for everybody that's on the account for this particular company, and it pays out $500 a quarter, $2,000 a year, and it pays out at the beginning of the following year. We qualified for one quarter, so $500 there, another $400 bonus, so I can afford to have a three-day weekend. Excuse me, having coffee. Miserable day out, it's raining, it's 40 degrees, there's snow on the ground, which means my roof is going to get soaked, but the world will go on. We had a pretty nasty storm on Monday, so I went in. It didn't start until like 3 in the afternoon. Bear with me, I'm sitting here in sweats and my feet are cold, so I'm putting socks on. Ain't you lucky to be able to listen to that? Anyhow, the snow didn't start till later in the morning, so I went in at midnight and kind of got things rolling, and I was done by 9 o'clock in the morning. Company we delivered for was a little pissed off that nobody was working, but you know what? They don't plow their lot for crap, and it's just not worth the hassle. And we're all tired of it, and, you know, so one of their other customers doesn't pick up their loads. All of a sudden, it's our problem because all of a sudden they've got too many cans, and they've got to be shuttled from the plant to the warehouse. Well, somebody else not doing their job is not my problem, the way I look at it. And that's the way we all look at it. So, anyhow, a little more substance to this week's podcast. We're going to dig up some news. Actual news that you can use, or at least should be relevant to you. First thing I want to talk about, for those that don't already know it, is the pain-in-the-ass idle restrictions that California's now got. We've had idling restrictions here in the Northeast for quite a while, so not a lot of sympathy on my part because, hey, you know, at least here in the Northeast, it actually gets cold at night, not down to the 50s. Ooh. But anyhow, it is a pain in the neck. They've basically been enforcing their five-minute limit, but the new anti-idling measure does not exempt sleeper time. I mean, there was a five-minute limit on truck idling, but you could idle during sleeper berth time. That's changed this year. The fines went up from $100 to $300, and they've also increased the amount of... It's called CARB, California Air Resources Board. They've increased the number of enforcement officers. You idle too much, it could be fines of $1,000 a day and criminal charges, although they figure that really would be rare. They can levy that against the most flagrant violations. They pretty much figure it's going to be unlikely, although it's not possible. The at least Karen Caesar, a spokeswoman for CARB, says, as for potential to file criminal charges, that would be highly unlikely as well, but they do have the option to charge that violation as a misdemeanor if they feel it's necessary, which basically means if you piss the guy off that's trying to write you up. There are exemptions, although mostly for temperature-dependent loads, truck inspections, maintenance, or to defrost your windshield. Isn't that exciting? You can idle while you're queuing, while you're in line, hauling temperature-dependent loads to avoid a health emergency, which I guess I could fall under, hey, it's freaking cold out, or to defrost the windshield, like I said. There is an exemption to idle to regenerate an engine exhaust system's diesel particulate filter. Let's see what else. There's also a ban on diesel-powered APUs, auxiliary power units, generators basically, for trucks that are 2007 or later model year engines. You can use diesel-powered APUs that have been retrofitted with a California Air Resources Board approved diesel particulate filter. The 2007 engines actually emit less diesel particulates than the APUs. From what I've seen, this idling law isn't going to affect a lot of guys because they're just not going to go back to California. I tell you, I lived out there 17-some-odd years. I don't miss it, and I really have no desire to go out to the left coast anymore. Anyhow, my folks have moved back to the east. I have two sisters that live out there, so that's the only particular reason I would want to go back out there, just to visit. 10 days is good enough. 7 wasn't quite enough. 2 weeks is too long. So what else we got in the news? Volvo has recalled 125,000 trucks in North America due to the danger of short circuits in the lighting system that can cause fires. They said basically all the trucks produced in North America since 2003 to now are being recalled. It's due to an electrical module that controls the truck's lighting systems. They discovered it becomes too warm. There could be a short circuit that could potentially could create smoke or, in the worst case, even a fire. They don't know yet if the system needs to be replaced or if there's going to be some kind of alteration, but it's a It's a fairly quick job, and it has to be done. They are the number two heavy-duty truck manufacturer. Its sales have gone up in North America. Yada, yada, yada. So if you got a Volvo, carry a fire extinguisher. Catscales is buying out Interstate Scales from its owner, Hargett Enterprises. It's 143 locations. Cat will continue operating Interstate Scales locations while they're being evaluated, which just adds more locations of Catscale, so that's always comfortable to know. I generally never really had a problem finding Catscales, but when I could not find a Catscale, I did go to Interstate, so that's necessarily a good thing, I think, personally, but what the hell do I know?
It took 10 years and 22 singles, but Depeche Mode is now the ward in the music called progressive technopop. Tonight, the band is appearing in person for an autograph party at a West LA record store, and it has attracted thousands of fans waiting to see their music idols, some who have been lined up since last night.
You could hear the screaming all over the Beverly Center area, a line of teenagers 15 blocks long. Like the swooning over Sinatra, the ecstasy over Elvis, and the fainting over the Fab Four, Depeche Mode is today's hot act.
I haven't seen anything like this before. Girls were crying, boys were hurling themselves at the limousine. Police say now there's maybe 15,000 kids here.
Crowd control problem in West LA tonight.
The private security force could not handle them all, and police had to be called. Some people are calling it a near riot.
Riot police, we are told, have gathered at the Beverly Center.
Police have had to make several arrests, and the band was forced to leave early.
Seems like I haven't seen that since the days of the Beatles.
Reach out, touch faith.
I was there. I was part of that. I was part of the great Depeche Mode riot of 1989? Maybe it was 1990. But I was there. Not because I was a huge Depeche Mode fan or, you know, I didn't plan on it. I didn't make my day around it. But what had happened, you know, I just ate some chocolate and I shouldn't have. What had happened was I was on my way to work that day. And it was a nice day. It was one of those, God damn it, I really don't feel like going to work kind of days. You know, the skies were nice and blue. The weather was really nice. And just didn't feel like going to work. So, and I had heard about the record signing. And, you know, I liked Depeche Mode. Like I said, I wasn't a huge fan. Plus, I wasn't a teenager. I think I was 22. Let's see, this was 90. I would have been about 24. Maybe 25, depending on which year it was. I can't quite remember. But I was a fan. I knew about the signing. I didn't plan on going because I had to go to work. I worked in Culver City as a mechanic. And I lived in Hollywood, right up the street from the Capitol building. Literally a block. Actually, not even a block. Half a block. Anyhow, on my way to work, driving by there, and I saw the line, and it looked like fun. A lot of good-looking girls there, you know, they still had the new wave thing going on with the big hair and all that stuff, and I really didn't want to go to work. I drove by there, and I saw it down the road a little bit. I'm like, you know what, screw it. Turned around, found a place to park, parked my car, swung by a payphone, called my boss, and told me that some cockamamie story. I think about my car had been they put a Denver boot on my car. I didn't have any money. I was taking a bus to Irwindale to get money from mom to pay for the fees and everything else. And since I had to go out there and take a bus back, pretty much my day was shot. All kinds of horseshit like that. And my boss was cool. He didn't believe me, but he was cool about it. So, anyhow, I get in line and just start hanging out. And it was kind of a party-type atmosphere. Like I said, this was in the morning. We knew the record signing was in the afternoon. But at this point, what they were doing was the line had started at the back of the building. You picture a row of buildings, and my memory's going, so. But the warehouse, which was the name of the record store, was in a row of buildings. Maybe there was four storefronts, something like that. And if you were looking at it, they were pretty much the center building. And the line had started at the back side of the building and then had come around to the front. And when I got in line, it was pretty much just past the corner of the front of the building where the line had come. So it wasn't huge yet, but it was pretty good size and had all the makings of a big to-do. So, anyhow, I get in line and just start chatting it up. You know, you're hanging out with the same people for a few hours, and some guys were smart. They figured out how to move up in line. It was, you know, hey, you guys want me to go to 7-Eleven, let me in ahead of you. And then he would buy stuff, and then he'd come back, and there'd be a few people ahead, and then a little while later, he'd do the same thing, you know. He's buying junk food and crap like that, and people were making soda runs and beer runs. There wasn't a lot of beer, though, because there was a lot of teenagers. I know. Doesn't seem to go together, but we were on the street, so how much drinking can go on? But it was fun, you know. I met this one girl in particular. I can't quite remember her name now because it's been so long, but I'm just going to call her April for the sake of this story. She was behind me constantly, and she had friends with her, but she and I did a lot of talking. It was cute. She had brought something for them to sign. It was something she had put in a frame. I really don't remember what it was, but obviously she'd spent some time with this. And she had a single long braid. If you've ever seen the Till Tuesday video where Voices Carry, where Amy Mann's got that long ponytail, long thin rat tail, I guess you'd call it. This is what she had, and it was cute, and I kept playing with it. And so we hit it off, you know. And as the day progressed and the crowd grew a little bigger, the line started shifting a little bit. No one was really getting in, but it was just starting to condense, you know. It was becoming less of a line, slowly becoming sort of a small throng of people forcing their way forward. So much to the point that eventually I was on the back side of the building, but none of us had been let in yet. It swelled from a reasonable line to a mob, not yet, but that did eventually happen. And, you know, day turned to evening, which turned to nighttime, and it started to get a little scary. You know, people were starting to get ambitious and a little rowdy and anxious, and it started to slowly get out of control. I do remember on the back side of the building, somehow the window got busted out of one of the empty storefronts. There wasn't a store in there. It was a fence. I take that back. I'm sorry, it was a fence, and the fence got taken out, so that section all filled in with people. There was a small tree there, which if you've ever seen any of the video, in fact, if you put in Depeche Mode Riot video online, there's a website that has some video from a recent re-release of their CD, and there's a image in there of like three guys sitting in a tree. That tree eventually came down as the evening progressed, and things got so far out of control, it was scary. But a limo drove up, and I remember that's pretty much when all hell broke loose. There was a parking garage behind there, and there was people in the parking garage. And people just started rushing the backside of the store. I think it was around 7 o'clock. I think that's when they were scheduled to start signing. So at that point, April was getting scared, and she was holding this thing up in the air, whatever it was she wanted them to autograph. And she was holding it up, and she was starting to cry, and we were starting to get a little frightened because things were obviously getting out of control. The tree came down. That fence came down. One of the windows at the warehouse record store broke, at which point we were pretty much told Depeche Mode left. I think word was they signed like five or six things, and that was it. It just got too out of control, and they had to leave, at which point they started telling us, you know, to leave, disperse, blah, blah, blah. And we still didn't realize how bad it was because we were on the back side of the building. So, I mean, there was only so much room back there. So April got upset because her friends had disappeared. She didn't know where they had gone. And so I told her I'd stick with her until she found her friends. They had parked across the street at the Beverly Center's parking garage. So there's these throng of people. There's tons of people around screaming. Some are upset. You know, there's girls crying. There's guys that are pissed off because they wasted their days. I just had fun. I didn't get to see them, but, you know, whatever. I did have an album with me. And April had, so the night would not be a total waste. She gave me her name and her address and her phone number. And she signed that on the back of the album. And so I walked her across the street. As we went to walk across the street, and we came around back to the front side of the building where the main street was. That's when we realized how bad things had actually gotten. We looked up, and there was a helicopter. We assumed it was a news copter, but turns out it was police. It was a police helicopter, a couple of them. A bunch of police cars. There were police in full riot uniforms. The street was blocked off at both intersections. And that's we realized that, oh, damn, this was something big. And but April was more concerned that she couldn't find her friends. So we walked across the street to where the car was parked. And it really pissed me off. It was gone. They had left. They left this poor girl stranded. So I didn't want to feel like a perv because, like I said, I was, I think, 24. And she was still in her teens, late teens, I think 17, 18. So, but I told her, I'm like, hey, look, you know, if you need a ride home, you know, I can't leave you stranded here. And we were thinking maybe her friends were going to come back. I go, well, let's hang out for a little bit, you know. And that's, if, you know, if they don't show, I'll give you a ride. She's lived out in Sun Valley, which I can't remember where the hell it's at. I'm not even sure it was Sun Valley, but it wasn't there. It was a ways out. So we hung out for like a half an hour, kind of watching things from the parking structure downstairs. There was no real violence on the street, but it was just a mob. Literally a mob. So her friends didn't show up. And it really annoyed me, because that's kind of bullshit. So I gave her a ride out to Sun Valley. Now, I was working, but I wasn't making a lot of money, so gas was pretty much at a premium. But I give her a ride home. She takes me inside to meet her folks, and they weren't thrilled with my age. I'm like, I just didn't want to see her stranded. That's really all it was. You know? And honestly, it was all it was. I wasn't looking for anything out of this girl, so... That was pretty much it. I called her a couple times, and I did go to visit her once or twice. The first time I went to visit her, I know this sounds gay, but she cut off that little rat tail and weaved it into my hair because I had some back then, and I wore that around for a while. It's kind of a cheesy thing, but I don't know. I guess it was an 80s thing. Funny thing that happened is the next day when I went to work, my boss asked if I'd got my car out. I said, yeah. He asked me how much it cost, and I made up some phony amount, $125 or whatever. He goes, hey, do me a favor. Next time you call in sick, don't show up on the evening news, huh? Because there was camera crews there that day, obviously, because there's video of it. But he had seen me on that. So, He was all right, though. I mean, this is a guy that embezzled money. He used to take customers' cars home at night. Instead of wasting his own, he would disconnect the odometer cable, drive it home, You know, he'd lie saying we needed it for another day. He'd drive it home and drive it back. So, nice guy. That's it. That was my involvement with the Great Depeche Mode Riot of 1989 or 90.
KTNQ, Los Angeles, LA's only radio. I gotta tell you, it's the thrill of my young life. Beaver Cleaver screaming my guts out on a 50,000 watt major market radio station, armed with RAM to give away. 8 o'clock now on the new 10Q.
No idea why I put that air check on there from KTNQ station I used to listen to when I was growing up in LA, but at the time FM really wasn't making a big splash yet, so it was all about the AM. It was 64KFI and KTNQ, which is now Spanish, I believe. In fact, it was Spanish before I left California. Anyhow, I'm just about ready to wrap it up. But before I do that, I want to talk about this band here called Trucker Mouth. Once again, I've changed the opening of my show, and as long as they don't say to stop it, it's going to stay the way it is, because I do have music on there from the band Trucker Mouth. It's a song called Sputnik. Now, I'm not going to play the entire thing because there's no vocals, and that's really cutting these guys short. These guys are based out of Boston, Mass. Formed back in 2006, four of them got together in a studio in the North Shore and jammed. It clicked pretty well, so they've continued on. The band's comprised of Tim Atkins on vocals and guitar, Chad Rowley on guitar, Patrick Barrett on drums, Joe Landry on bass. It's rock and roll. There's a definite southern rock influence in there. You can hear it. It gives them a really cool, gritty rock sound with the taste of southern rock. As of right now, from best I can understand, they've got about 20 original songs they've written, and they do some covers. They do tour in the Northeast region. I really want to get off my ass and check these guys out one of these days. I haven't been able to do that. So until then, I'm going to close out with a song of theirs called Likeness. You want to check out more of Trucker Mouth? You can check them out at www.truckermouth.com. Trucker Mouth's two words with a hyphen in between. You can also find them on MySpace and check out some of their live videos on YouTube, which is youtube.com/truckermouthmusic. So, I'm going to go out with a song called Likeness. And until I talk to you again, go out there with a song in your heart and be good to each other. See ya.